You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I couldn't be more pleased at who is joining me in today's broadcast. He's our most popular columnist with the Baptist Messenger. He is president of All Star Ministries, and he is a great friend to Oklahoma Baptists. And I'm talking about Walker Moore. Walker, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Well, thanks for having me today.
Now, I love your books and just come to admire the wisdom that you exude from your articles each week, the warmth, the humor that you bring. And as we near the holidays and as you minister through All-Star, what has been on your heart lately? How is God speaking to you?
Well, I've been working a lot on writing on, especially on helping young people understand their identity, especially in the area of male and female. I used to tell a joke. I said when I was growing up, I wore hand-me-downs all my life, and all I had was three older sisters. So, so you know, you struggle with identity anyway as a child, who you are and why were you created. But it seems more and more with the way our society is going, young people are having a more difficult time discovering their sexual identity and what does it mean to be a male and a female. So I've been working and teaching young people this topic.
And that goes to our very foundations with the Bible, the book of Genesis, the created order. Could you unpack what you mean and what that could mean for young men and women?
Yeah, what God did when he decided to impart himself in the creation, God took part of his attributes and put it into a body that he called male. And it became male because it carried the masculine attributes of God. And he put his other attributes into a female body, and that became female, not because it had ovaries and female parts, became female because it had the feminine attributes of God. Mm-hmm. Now, the masculine attributes of God are very easy for us, to, especially as a man, to embrace. You give two boys a stick, what are they going to do? They're going to fight, you know, because that's the masculine attribute, God the warrior. And we just walk that in us, and we don't understand that we're male because we carry the masculine attributes of God, and women carry the feminine attributes of God.
And that's so contrary to what popular opinion is in the secular world today. How much would it benefit us as families to really embrace these roles as God created them and preserve them?
Well, first of all, it would take away a lot of confusion in your children's life. There's enough confusion going on. When I was growing up, you was either male or female, but now you have all kinds of other things in between that. Am I bisexual, homosexual? Am I this or that? You know, and these kids all have friends, and there's a great confusion about what sex am I? And when it's really very easy, you know, because when you look at the scriptures, God made them male and he made them female, and he made them because he put his attributes into them. What we see in Genesis, we see the very first masculine attribute of God. Because in Genesis, when God showed up, creation was a mess. In fact, it's called chaos. I think it's in Genesis. It was chaos. The darkness hanging out with the light. The light was messing around with the darkness. It was a mess. And what does God do? He speaks order into disorder. And the very first masculine attribute we see of God, as a masculine, as a male, our job is to speak order into disorder. And he spoke in, he told all the darkness, come over here. And he does two things. He gives them identity and he gives them purpose. He said to all the dark, I'm going to call you night. And all the dark, hey, we're night, you know. And over here, the light, what are we? And he says, you're light. And they go, we're light, you know. And they all, now they had identity. Then he gave them purpose. You're going to mark time. We'll start with night and we'll go so far. Then light's going to take over and we'll end with light. We'll call that day one. Y'all going to do that again tomorrow. We call it day two. And all of a sudden now, out of the chaos came identity and came purpose. We see that with Adam. When he showed up, the animals were messing around. I mean, the zebras hanging out with the monkeys, mm-hmm. the turtles hanging out with the giraffes. And Adam comes along. What does he do? He gives them names. He gives them identity. And always identity produces purpose. And so all of a sudden he speaks. So the very first two things we see in the Bible is a masculine attribute of God, you know, and we see these things. Now, women has the very nurturing and the caring and the, you know, the, all the female, you know, attributes that we think of women. And those, in fact, those attributes of God are listed in Proverbs 31. If you want to see what a godly woman is, those are the attributes of God. One who, you know, manages a household, and one who takes care of others, you know, one who's open-handed and all the things. In Proverbs 31, we see the attributes of God.
That's really eye-opening the way you put that, and I so agree. Walker Moore just penned, in addition to his weekly column, Rite of Passage Parenting, a special edition column about raising family in today's increasingly secular society. That's viewable on BaptistMessenger.com. And one of the articles in the same piece about today's modern family was what to do when a loved one says, I'm gay. And one of your comments, Walker, reminded me of an author named Joe Dallas, who was lived a homosexual life, came out of that, was washed and cleansed by Christ. And he said, in helping young men who struggle with same-sex attraction, he reminds them of this: God made you a man, and God didn't make mistakes. And just by speaking that into their lives, order is established. Have you seen any work of this personally?
Yes. Many young people that we work with are struggling with this, and it's the job of the father to speak into them identity. The mother gives children values, but the father gives identity. And in fact, there's a Greek word called storge that is used in Romans, and it's the foundational love for all love. We know we talk about agape love and eros and phileo, but there's another word called storge, and it's the love that you receive before you're ever born. It's put into the womb, that foundation. It's an unspeakable love because you learn that love or receive that love when you do not have verbal skills. You can't describe how you love your mother because you receive that before you're ever born. So it's a mother's job to put values in the children, but father comes along and speaks identity. We see that in Jesus when God says to him, this is my son who I'm well pleased. In fact, we know by the time Jesus was 12 years old, and he was in Luke the second chapter in the temple that day, his parents finally found him after looking 3 days for him. What did he say? He said, I'm out doing my father's business. His dad had already spoken into him, and his father already invited him into the man world. His dad invited him to come to work with him. And that's part of that identity, because out of your identity come purpose. And at 12 years old, he says, I'm out doing my father's business. So we know by the time he's 12, God has already spoken to him his identity and his purpose, and he was walking that out.
Are you seeing a culture that's hostile toward this notion or undermining it?
Oh, yeah. It's a free-for-all world now. You know, there's no—when you have no absolute truth, when you don't have biblical truth, then it comes to whatever you want to be. It's all man opinion, and yet the Scripture is very clear that, you know, it's not my opinion. It's what God says. It's His opinion that counts, you know. And so you can be whatever you want to be, but God already determined what you're going to be. And so what we do is speak to these young men, you're a man. But when a young boy will understand he's a man and what that means and how to walk that out, see, that's the problem is we don't teach them how to walk it out. A young boy ought to be speaking order into disorder. And when you have a business that's in disorder, it's a man's job to speak order into it. When you got a church that's in disorder, it's the men's job to step up and speak order into it. And so we teach these young men how to speak order into it. We teach them biblical principles how to do that.
That's powerful. And I want to encourage everyone listening to this to get a copy of Walker Moore's book, Rite of Passage Parenting. You know, I've read a lot of parenting books. My wife and I have 4 kiddos and try to get all the advice I can. Yours is the best I've read.
Well, thank you.
And there are a number of authors I admire, but Walker's, and he really will show you practically how to implement these principles.
Yeah.
Now, Walker, most everyone knows your column, and they may be familiar with your books and writings, but talk to the listeners about AwStar. Maybe they're not as familiar. What is it? What does it do, and how is God using it?
AwStar is a discipleship ministry because the Bible didn't tell us go to do mission work. It told us go make disciples. So while we're on the journey going to foreign countries, I take kids overseas most of the time, 5 weeks at a time, and they go through a discipleship process of learning how to lay down their adolescence and become adults. And so they start out at the very beginning, and they have very few skills of walking out as an adult. They don't even know who they are half the time. And by the time they get down 5 weeks, they come home knowing who they are, their identity. But also they get what we call a significant task. We go into places where there's no one else's go. We go into the jungles of Panama, or we're getting ready to go to Cambodia and be up on the border by Vietnam. And we're working. In fact, one of the pastors that we worked with was killed right after we left. The communists killed him. Wow. We're into, but these kids also for the first time has what is called a significant task. So what we do is we give them a rite of passage trip while they're doing a mission trip. They also are going through biblically of closing down their childhood. We join the parents in this and they send their kids when they come back. The parents celebrate that we have a new adult in the home.
And it's occurs to me passages in your book about this idea even of a teenager. And it's perpetuated, whether it be the latest Twilight book or anything on that lines about adolescence. Is that true through time, this idea of a teenager even?
Well, the word teenager is coined 1941, April edition, Popular Science magazine.
Okay.
In fact, I have a copy in my office. And I keep it there to remind me that this day, one day in the United States, they created a new word, coined a new word, Popular Science did, teenager. In fact, when I was growing up, we were not called teenagers. In fact, we were called the intermediate department or the Baptist Young People Union. But there was the concept of teenagers, even the word was created in 1941. It was not in a book cover till 1948. So this is a very recent terminology and created a whole new set of society that's not biblical, because the Bible says I once was a child, thought as a child, spoke as a child, but I put away childish saying and became a what? An adolescent? No, the Bible said you became an adult. Jesus, 12 years old, was an adult. He was doing adult responsibility. He was in the temple. He was dialoguing with the rabbis of his day, and he took on adult responsibility for staying behind. He had to find a place to eat and place to sleep, and he did adult things. And in fact, the greatest adult thing in that passage is when his parents showed up, he submitted himself to their authority, because adults know how to submit to authority. And so we've taken away this of raising up. See, everybody tell me, I'm raising my children. I said, I hope you don't raise children. I hope you raise adults. Hmm. We have enough 40-year-old children in this world now. We got men and women who are married, still living with mom and dad putting the gas in the tank and paying the bills and taking care of the grandchildren because their children are not responsible enough, you know. So it's a mess out there right now.
Well, and you spoke earlier about men and women – young men and women understanding who they're created to be, their identity. And I just wonder if we could get it through our minds that this idea of teenager is made up, and if we could transform to young adult, what difference could that make?
Well, first of all, being a teenager destroys young people. Because they move it. Every child wants to grow up. In fact, Jeremiah 6:16 is called the ancient path verse. That animal has instinct. We as human being has what we call the ancient path, things that God has put in us. I work all around the world with tribes that are very remote. And every tribe, no matter how remote it is, provides their children a rite of passage. A little boy goes out and kills a tiger, come back, he sits with a warrior. It is the most natural thing put into man. Every little girl wants to be like mama, and she puts on little mama high heels and try her dress and lipstick. And little boys want to help dad with the shooting a gun or go out and work on the car or, you know, like that. And they have this. It's put in there by God. Every child has that. And all of a sudden, in our culture, we say, no, you don't go that way. And we push them aside. Go watch TV, play video games. Then all of a sudden, when we want them to become adults, they don't want to become adult, because there's a season in every child when you're supposed to harvest that thought, that desire that God put in. And when you miss that season, it's very difficult to pull a 21-year-old to become an adult again. You got an adolescent on your hand for the rest of your life because you did not capture that God-giving spirit in his heart to become a grown-up.
That's a powerful point. And we're talking to Walker Moore, who is an author, Baptist Messenger columnist, president of All-Star Ministries. I want to pay a special remark and compliment to All-Star. You've not just trained hundreds, you've trained thousands.
Thousands. 13,000 students I've trained over my lifespan. So
that is incredible. How could someone learn more about the ministry and the needs there?
Well, they can go to our website. Probably the easiest way, fastest way today in modern technology is go to www.awe, like the awe of God, star.org. And we have a new website up, and you can explore and see pictures from students being on the field all around the world. And in fact, you can go into our blog from last year and read all the stories about what journeys our kids did and went to the jungles and how they took on an unreached people group and started churches. In fact, we started churches with these students in 47 countries now.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate you coming on the broadcast and just week in and out, providing that wisdom, that insight, and that warmth. And you'll want to also connect with Walker on Facebook, on facebook.com/TheBaptistMessenger. That's a great way to, of course, get the latest column online, but also talk to Walker.
And it's free.
And it's free.
That's the best word today. That's what I love about the internet. You get stuff free, so you can get on there and read these articles free, and you can keep up with young people around the world and what we're doing and what God is doing.
Fantastic. Well, Walker, thank you for who you are and all you're doing, and we pray God's blessings on you, and thank you for coming on this episode.
Well, thank you very much.
Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.